It's a good day here at the well. Today we continue our conversation, our journey, talking about the gospel, which is good news for everyone. And we talked last week, we kind of introduced everything. We talked about how the gospel really is good news, for it tells the story. It is the story of God's salvation. And what I want us to sort of transition to today and where we're going to kind of start out is if the gospel is good news, then I guess at some point there has to be some bad news, right? I mean, in other words, for us to understand that the gospel is good news, there's got to be something that this good news is speaking into. And so what that good news is speaking into is actually the fallen humanity, the sinful nature of the world. And if you want to take it way back to the very beginning, it all kind of started there with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, when Eve was tempted by Satan to take the fruit from the tree that God had said, you know what, you can have everything in the garden. In fact, you have reign and rule over all of it. You have dominion over everything, but stay away from this one tree, the knowledge of good and evil. And it was through deception that Eve took the fruit, and at that point, we saw the fall of humanity. Sin entered the world. And from that point forward, the gospel is that God has been at work seeking to redeem what was lost in that moment. And while, you know, it would be really nice if we could dump all of the responsibility on Adam and Eve for taking that first step, I'll speak only for myself, but I've certainly contributed to that more than once and more recently than a long time ago. And so we all, at some level in our life, have a bent toward sin. We have a nature within us that, for whatever reason, chooses to do what is wrong. We choose evil, and I can't explain it, but I also can't refute it. I know too much about me to know that given the choice between right and wrong, given the choice between a garden full of all that is great, you show me the one piece that I'm supposed to stay away from, and I don't know what it is within me, but that's what I'm going for, okay? Maybe I'm speaking your language, maybe I'm not, and God bless you for that. But this is what good news speaks to, is God's work in the world to right what was wrong, not only then, but what is wrong now. And we don't have to look very far. We don't have to, you know, watch too many news feeds. We don't have to listen to too many sad stories before we realize that, yeah, at some level, our world around us is corrupt and it's broken. And in fact, you probably don't even have to look outside your own sphere to realize, yeah, there's brokenness all around us. So this good news speaks into the brokenness. And what we understand about sin and fallen humanity is that we are literally and utterly hopeless apart from some work of God. And that work of God is grace. It's one of my favorite words. In fact, it is, if you had to use another word for the gospel for me, is grace. Grace is simply this. Grace is the unmerited or undeserved favor of God. It's the unmerited favor of God, the undeserved kindness of God to reach into what is broken and to begin to put that back together to make right what was wrong. And I say undeserved because that's what makes grace grace. Undeserved. There's nothing that you and I have done that somehow would begin to right the wrong that we experienced at the fall, or that we experienced when you and I fell last week or this week or a long time ago. We can try to patch things up. We can try to put things back together, but we're really not that good at it. And so we believe as Orthodox Christians, and by that I just mean, you know, like we share this in common with many, in fact, I would say all others, that at some level inside of our brokenness, we're helpless. And so we need the favor of God, because he certainly is not obligated to do that because we are good at some level, and so therefore God owes us something, or God owes us salvation. We know better than that. And so it's God's kindness and favor, undeserved, that he reaches in, and of course we have seen that most prevalent in sending his own son Jesus, who came into the world who became flesh like you and me with the same limitations yet with the same godliness as the Father, who comes among us and who gives his life as a ransom for ours. In other words, he has no sin, yet he gives himself away to be the atonement for my sin and yours. That's what grace is. And while this seems overwhelming and certainly a lot to grab a hold of, what I want us to do is over the next 3 weeks, today and two more weeks, we're going to look at what is grace. And because we are a United Methodist Church and we study the teachings and we follow in the way of John Wesley, Wesley had a really clear understanding, I think, at least makes it clear for me, understanding of this grace. And he saw it in sort of a threefold measure, and he called it the way of salvation. And he saw grace in sort of three departments, if you will. There's prevenient grace. It's just a fancy word for grace that goes before. It's based on a Latin word, preventing, but not in a preventing like, you know, you get your oil change, but like preventing as in going before us, ahead of us. And then he spoke of justifying grace, which is a way to understand grace as to make us righteous. In other words, to justify our brokenness. And that's the work we see, especially in Jesus' work on the cross and subsequently his resurrection, that makes all that is broken back right. And then he also understood grace to include this part of sanctification, which is just a really fancy church word for a continuation of making us whole. In other words, as he writes what is wrong, there's still some work to be done on the back end of that to shape us, to mold us, to continue to put us back into that image we were originally created in. And so we're going to spend 3 weeks kind of looking at these. And so today, specifically, we're looking at this idea of prevenient grace, or a grace that goes before us. And the reason I paint such a dismal picture for you of what it means to be lost and sinful and broken is because that is the place where we experience God's prevenient, or God's grace that goes before us. And so I want to share a passage of Scripture. We spent some time last week in Romans, and Romans is chock full of God's grace and really some just solid work on God's salvation. And so if you have your Bibles and you want to follow along, if not, the words will be on the screen and I'll be reading them. We're going to start off in Romans chapter 5. And in Romans chapter 5, verse 6, this is Paul writing this, and he's already spent a considerable amount of time telling us how broken humanity is, just how far broken we are and were, or were and are. He also talks about the good news of Jesus, the gospel, and he talks about how everyone is subject to sin. Everyone has fallen short of God's incredible standard. And it's with God's kindness, it's with grace, that God reaches in to begin to make that right, to turn it inside out. But to best understand this, Paul goes on to say in chapter 5, verse 6, he says, When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. You know, now most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who was especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his Son, while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his Son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ made us friends with God. Paul says, while we were yet sinners. In other words, he says, while we were utterly helpless. We were utterly helpless. What I think sometimes we go right past that. What we see in this simple phrase is Paul's reminder to us that apart from grace, we really have little to no hope. I promise you, if you'll just run with me for a little while, this will get better, right? There's hope at the end of this. But I think for us to understand, and I've said this time and time again, in order for us to understand the incredible vastness of God's love and his grace for us, we must understand just what he's working with, how broken and sinful we are. And if we're really honest with ourselves, you can see this even without hearing it from Scripture. You know, looking in the mirror, just how broken we can be at times. And maybe you're not broken, but you know people who are. You've seen it. Paul says, while we were utterly helpless, Christ died for us. While we were utterly helpless, at just the right time, what I want you to hear in this just the right time is that what Paul is saying here is that, yes, we were broken and we were utterly helpless. We were at the bottom of the barrel. There is nothing within us, and this is something we share with Christians across the board. There is nothing good within us that is good enough to even reach up and grab a hold of God. In other words, it takes an act of God to reach down toward us. You've probably heard me say before, you know, you hear people say, I found, you know, I remember when I was a teenager, that's when I first found Jesus. As if you were looking for Jesus. No one goes looking for Jesus. God comes looking for you. He came looking for me. That is what prevenient grace is all about. That's what grace is all about, and it's made known in God's work before, while we were yet sinners. In other words, while we were still utterly hopeless, God made the first move. And if you don't hear anything else I say this morning, don't forget this. In whatever state that you find yourself, whatever situation, whatever you're going through, God is making a move toward you. He is coming at you. God is initiating this relationship. This is the beauty in God's grace. It's not that we deserved it. It's that God is proactive and is the chief actor in salvation. I'm sure you responded, and maybe you had, you know, maybe you were crying at the altar at camp meeting, or you know, at kids camp. But and while you might have thought that was a decision you made, those of you who have already trusted your life with Jesus, the reality is that God's Spirit began to stir and work in your life and in my life to bring us to a point where we recognize we are broken and in need of a Savior. We were broken in need, and maybe you haven't made that that journey yet. But God's been tugging on your heart. You've had sensations when you were in the midst of worship, or maybe you were driving home from work and there's something tugging at your heart and you know that God is calling you. You just don't know what that looks like. And somehow you've put that off and said, I'm going to wait until I'm ready. And the reality is that is a gift of grace from God to tap you on the shoulder. That is God's prevenient grace that reaches out, that pursues us, and comes toward us while we were utterly helpless. At just the right time, God sent his son Jesus into the world. Not only was that just at the right time, but Paul reminds us that God showed us great love. This is what grace is all about. It is all powered by, it is all... The motive behind all of this is God's incredible love for us. That while we were far away from him, God seeks to come to us and pursue us. This is what prevenient grace is all about. It is a grace that comes for us. So what does that look like when God's grace comes to us? What does it look like when God pursues us, when he comes toward us and he seeks us out? I'm really glad that you asked. In Philippians chapter 2, hear what God we read in verse 13. God is working in you to give you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Here's what we believe about this prevenient grace, and we see this in other, not just this moment from Paul, but Paul reminds us that this grace comes within in our lives and actually gives us the desire to reach for God. Mind you, he's already visited and given us that desire. That is grace. That's his work in us. But he gives us the power to want to reach out for him. Places that in our heart. That is prevenient grace. one of the things that not only does it let us know that there's a God out there, that there's hope, that there's salvation, but one of the first things that prevenient grace does for us is it convicts us of our sin. It reveals to us our own brokenness. And while sometimes this is incredibly painful and difficult for us to encounter, this is a gift indeed. In fact, it sort of reminds me we have pain sensors. I have no idea how this actually works, but I know that if I touch a hot grill, y'all thought I was gonna say hot stove, but I said hot grill because I like grills. But if you touch a hot grill, it's gonna hurt. And you know then to pull your hand back and not touch it anymore, right? Some lessons are best learned that way. It seems like that's the story of my life. But here's the beauty. Many would say like being burned by a grill is punishment or torture, and why would God let you touch the grill? Here's the deal. Knowing that that is hot and feeling the pain from it helps me not to leave my hand in the fire to be completely consumed. The same could be said in our spiritual walk. The work of God sometimes reveals to us just how broken we are so that we can sense the pain to know it doesn't have to be like this. There is hope beyond where we are right now. And if we had no way to feel the pain, if God did not reveal to us that we were broken, we would never know that there's something out there that can rescue us and save us, and we would be left to be consumed by ourselves or by the fire. And so one of the greatest gifts of God's prevenient grace is that it convicts us of our sin. It lets us know our brokenness. It reveals to us that we're not where we ought to be. We're not at a place where God desires us to be. We're not at a place where we're able to experience the fullness of God's plan and purpose for our life. And so God's prevenient grace convicts us of our sin, and this is good news. This is good news for everyone. This good news that we can know that we are broken so that we might be able to receive forgiveness, that we might be able to receive grace, receive mercy. In Romans chapter 2 and verse 4, Paul says this. Paul says in Romans 2 verse 4, he says, "Don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see that his kindness is intended to turn you from your sin? Can't you see that his kindness is meant to turn you from your sin?" In other words, Paul says, this work that God's doing in your life, can't you see that that is his gift to you to draw you to himself? To lead you to turn away from that which is causing the pain, to turn you away from that which is breaking you, to turn you away from that which has got a grasp on your life. Can't you see that God's prevenient grace in your life is leading you away from that which will take you nowhere? The good news of the gospel is this, that while we were yet sinners, that while we were going through the motions, that while we thought we had everything figured out, God saw fit to send Jesus, both in the day that Christ showed up, but also in each day in our lives. God sees fit to send to us a measure of his grace, to draw us out from the brokenness, to give us a glimpse of our brokenness, to give us a glimpse of his power. One of the greatest gifts of prevenient grace is not only does it give us a glimpse of our brokenness, not only does it make known to us just how far away we are, but it also gives sight to us that there is something far greater. God's prevenient grace reveals to us that it doesn't have to stay this way. One of the most influential men in my life is another Methodist preacher, David Cumbist. And like he had a way of explaining grace to me that it was profound, and I think it was because it was so simple, and you know me. But he said, Ben, God loves you just the way you are, but God loves you way too much to leave you that way. That's God's grace at work in our life. That's prevenient grace applied in my life to bring me to a place where I can recognize and know that, yeah, God loves me, warts and all. But God loves me so much that he would show me a better way, that he would reach into where I am and be willing to draw me out. That's God's grace. Prevenient grace is God's initiation of salvation long before we ever knew we needed it. Let me say that one more time. Prevenient grace, it's God's initiation of salvation, God's first move in our life before we ever had a clue that that was even something that we needed or even wanted. What I hope that you receive this morning is to know that no matter where you are, and I would even expand this a little bit further, because each of us has family and we have friends and we have coworkers who we pray for, and sometimes we don't even know how to pray for them. We just, God bless them, do something with them. It's true. We don't even know how to pray for them. Maybe this will give you some sort of next steps to pray in their direction. But for some people, they've never come to a place where they recognize the need for a Savior or that there even is one. And so this is the beauty of prevenient grace, that God is the initiator. This is the first move that God makes in that relationship. And perhaps the prayer might look like this now. God, I don't know what to do with them, but I'll trust that you do. And so would you somehow, supernaturally, by the power and the work of your Holy Spirit, or if you choose to use me, I'm a willing vessel. But God, would you stir and work in their life that before they are even willing to acknowledge you exist, God, would you convict their hearts? Would you draw them close to you? Would you not only convict their hearts and give them the need for salvation, but would you make that need of would you supply that need for them? Would you do that? God, help us to know the need of our salvation, but also the sufficiency of the cross. Help us to know that. Many of you here today, you're just putting pieces of the puzzle together. Oh, I see how this works now. But some of us here, you've been to church for a long time. You've kind of gone through the motions, and you're here because your spouse thought it was a good idea, or maybe you thought it was the right thing to do for your kids. And here's what I know. And no matter what I do up here, no matter what you've encountered in your past, the reality is that salvation is God's responsibility as much as more than it is mine, for sure, and more than it is your neighbor's or your former pastor or whoever. But here's what I know is that God wants and desires a relationship with you. And God has gone to incredible measure, so much so to send his own son, Jesus Christ, to give his life for you, to be an atonement for your sin. And there's going to be seasons in your life, it might be this very morning, where because of God's prevenient grace, he makes you aware that you stand in need. Maybe this has happened in the past and you sort of suppressed it. Here's what I would say. There's no better day than today to respond to that grace. There's no better moment than the present moment to say to God, I hear you, I feel you tapping me on the shoulder. I know that I'm broken. I know that I'm not quite there. Would you lead me toward salvation? Would you give me the grace that I need to walk in your ways? Would you put a desire in my heart to want to be like you, Jesus? Would you put a desire in my heart to actually reach out and receive the salvation you have to give? That's what prevenient grace is. God's work in our life before we ever knew him. It's the great initiation of God's work in our life. I tell our parents before we baptize infants that part of the reason we baptize babies is we believe that God is far more important to this picture than mom or dad or baby. But God is the chief actor in baptism. God is the chief actor in salvation. God is the one who initiates. God is the one who makes the first move. We get to be part of that as those who evangelize, those who carry the good word. But at the end of the day, God is the one who is responsible, and he's working in there to do that. And so the challenge for you today is simply this. If you've never responded to God's nudgings, to God's work in your life, to God's drawing toward you, there's no better day than today to say, I'm done running. You've been chasing. You have initiated. You have pursued me. I give up today, and I hand my life over to you. Maybe you've walked through this, and you've never really put it inside of a framework, but you now see that God has been at work in your life long before you ever knew him, and it just may be a moment for you to worship. It may be a moment for you just to look to God and say, wow, while I was utterly helpless, you came for me. What kind of God does that? When I was far away from you, when I wanted nothing to do with you, when I thought I had this under control, you sought me out and you came toward me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Maybe that's where you are. Maybe you've been praying for that person. You've been lifting them up. Today's the very day that God's going to move and stir in their life. Make sure that you're positioned to have that conversation with them. To maybe help them understand, yes, those nudgings you've been feeling, yeah, those coincidences, those are not coincidence. God has your number, and he's been calling for days, for months, for weeks. Would you just give it away to him? I believe God's the chief actor in salvation, but I sure do love to watch how he uses you and me to play along with that. And so maybe he's leading you today to reach out one more time and to offer that hope to that person you've been begging God to work on, the person you've been praying for and lifting up. Maybe today's the day when you get to step in and watch God do what only God can do. I pray you experience God's grace in all its glory. Not only today, not only this week, but every day of your life as God continues to bring salvation to the world through the work of Jesus Christ. The band's going to come and lead us in a song. I invite you to sing with us, but also to pray. And if I can pray with you or pray for you, I'm going to be hanging out in the back, and I would love to do that. If you've never made that decision to surrender your life, to receive that grace that has been surrounding you for so long, I would love to talk with you about what it means to not only receive this prevenient grace, but what justifying grace looks like, which is what we'll talk about next week. Let us pray. God, we're grateful for the way that you go before us, that while we were far away from you, while we were yet sinners, you came near and you pursued us and you gave us the knowledge, the recognition of our sin. And you didn't just leave us in a hopeless and helpless state, but rather you came in and you made known to us our brokenness, but you also revealed to us just how sufficient your cross and resurrection is to bring life and hope to any and all who would receive it. And so come, Lord Jesus, do that work even now as we sing together. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.